The devil doesn't want to do away with the Word of God because he knows he can't. But what he wants to do, his desire to do, is to help us not to really believe it and not to follow it. And so we want to ask the question today, how does the devil deal with the Word of God? And as we see how he deals with it, it helps us to understand how he is helping us to deal with the Word of God. And you can see his plan. Now, I think you can see the plan of God in the world. I think you can see the plan of Satan within the world also. And it's certainly something that we need to look at. But how does he look at the Word of God? How does he consider the Word of God? And I think it's important. Without the Word of God, we would not know exactly what God wants us to do. We wouldn't understand that. It's hard for me to conceive of people who really say, I believe in God, but then I don't believe in that Word that's given. If we did not have that Word, we would be like some of the native people who will worship other things. They'll worship trees. They'll worship the sky. They'll worship animals. They'll worship something and try to find something to worship. I think basically within us, we're going to find something to worship because we realize that there's something above us. There's something greater than us. And it has to be God. The Word of God tells us exactly who He is and tells us what He wants us to do. And he helps us to know his will and how we're to follow that. And you see, the Word is not just within us. And sometimes people have the idea that, you know, I know what God would want. Listen to what Jeremiah said. In Jeremiah 10 and verse 23, he said, O Lord, I know that the way of man, the way man conducts himself, the way man lives his life, it's not really, that's not as it should be. It's not in himself. He goes on to say, it is not in man who walks to direct his own steps. We need someone to direct our steps and to help us to know what way to go. Now, which way to go? Now, we think, I'm a good person. I'm trying to do what's right. I'm going to be honest. I'm going to try to do what I should do that's right and good. And that's great. It's great to feel that way. It's great to do that. But let me tell you something. It's a hollow thing if we don't have God behind it. Because if we don't have God behind it, it may not last very long with the way sometimes we're treated in the world. Because it's not going to help us. Now, what we've got to do is to look at this struggle that is going on. The struggle that's going on, and what do we do with this Bible? How do we handle the Bible? And I think the devil is trying to help us to do that, help us to be able to deal with the Scriptures and deal with the Word of God. You see, God's given us this sword to use. According to the book of Ephesians, in Ephesians 6 and verse 17, he tells us there that we have the sword of the Spirit, this Word of God, to be able to use that. And I'm going to tell you, it's so important that we realize that. It's so important that we understand that we have that today. Satan is trying to get the Word of God out of the hearts of people. Now, he knows he can't remove it all. He understands his power is limited. He understands his power is limited because God is greater than he is, and God is going to win the fight. He knows he's going to lose the battle, but let me tell you something. He's going to win a lot of people. He's going to win a lot of people. In fact, if we look at what the Scriptures have to say, he's going to win most of the world. Remember the idea of the broad gate? And many people go in there at? That's what it's talking about. It's talking about people that are going their own way and doing their own thing and going as they want to go. Paul in 2 Corinthians, the second chapter, was talking about forgiveness. And he was trying to help the people to understand that forgiveness. Listen to what he said here. Be careful. Let Satan should take away advantage of you, for we are not. We're not ignorant of his devices. We know some of them, but we need to know all of them. We need to know every one of them so that we can, when they come at us, we know where they're coming from, we know the source of them, and we know what we've got to do is to stay away from them. And we need to know how to deal with it. The Word of God helps us to understand that. So how does the devil deal with the Word of God? And I think it's important. Now, look at this. First of all, the devil, he wants to deny and to doubt. That's his purpose, is to deny the Word of God. Now, we go back to Genesis 3, Adam and Eve. Here is Eve. She's in the garden. And how does the devil deal with her there? Does he come up and say, listen, God's wrong. He doesn't. You don't need to follow that. You need to reject that. You need to turn away from that. You need to reject God. No. He says, what did God tell you about that tree? Well, now God said we weren't to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. She knew what God said. But now look at Satan as he comes back. And Satan comes back and says, well, you know, you're really not going to die when you eat that. You know, you're not going to die. Now, you just think about it. You're looking at a tree. You're looking at an apple tree or an orange tree or some kind of tree with fruit on it. And you're looking at that, and you mean if I eat that fruit, I'm going to die? And it's a spiritual death? Now, physical death is involved in that, but it's more of a spiritual death. That's going to happen to me. Well, that thing looks too good. It doesn't look that bad. It doesn't look that mean. It doesn't look that terrible. He had her doubting the Word of God. What's Satan do for you? Does he put things in your way and he says, this is evil, you know? Now, he says, this is not that bad. It's not wrong for you to do this. Don't look at it that way. That's narrow-minded. Don't look at it that way. When it is evil. But he wants you to doubt that. And he wants you to doubt the Word of God and doubt what God's Word has to say. And if we're those people that are willing to doubt it, that's exactly what he wants. And so here he's trying to do that. He wants us, we read 2 Timothy verses 16 and 17, where it talks there about the inspiration of the Bible, that it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instructing us in what is right. And then in verse 17, he says that. That's a purpose word there, telling you why you got all that other stuff there. If you do all that, this is why. That the person of God, the man of God, might be complete and thoroughly furnished for everything. He'll know which way to go. He'll know what's right. He'll know what's wrong. Brethren, we can know what's right and what's wrong by looking at what the Scriptures have to say. If we consulted the Scriptures before we did things, but you see, it's so hard to do that because we don't know the Scriptures that well sometimes. And so we're here just kind of in a tizzy about exactly which way do I go? What do I say? How do I handle it? And if we're not careful, what we do is we begin to doubt that. We begin to doubt the Word of God, doubt what God's Word has to say, and we don't believe it. And let me tell you something. Doubting leads to a lack of obedience, and it leads to condemnation. And we don't realize that. Doubting does that. It has the power to do that. He just doesn't want you to believe. He doesn't mind if you have a Bible. He doesn't mind if you have 50 Bibles. He just, you know, don't believe in it. You can read it too, you know. I hope you're a daily Bible reader. We've been asking, Mark does in this class, I assume the other adult class does too, ask, who is a daily Bible reader? And you might think, that's not that big a deal. You're just reading a Scripture, you know. It is an important thing that we read and study the Word of God. Find out what it has to say. Study those Scriptures and see what they have to say. And it helps us to be able to know the right way to go and to be able to go the right way. Don't believe things that are wrong, but believe what is right. If we doubt, we're going to doubt the whole Word of God. We're going to doubt the plan of salvation. Do you see that in people? If they really don't believe in the Word of God, they kind of doubt what God says about what to do to be saved. They doubt what God says about how that they're to live and the warnings that are given there, the rebukes that are given there in the Bible. They don't believe those things. They don't think those things are really that necessary. Oh, you can believe in God. You can believe in Jesus Christ. But just, you know, this other stuff is just going a little bit too far. Mark's talking about this in his class on Sunday morning. And I encourage you, come to the next class. He's going to get two more chapters in the book of Ephesians. You'll enjoy it. Come and study that and find out that. But you see, if we doubt, and that's what Satan wants us to do, is just to doubt. But if we doubt that, that's all he's got to have. That's all he wants. He doesn't want you just to totally deny it. That's not what he wants you to do. He just wants you to doubt it. Because if you doubt it, you're not going to start believing it, and you'll start cutting short doing His will. And you'll do what you want to. You'll follow your own way. You'll follow that. And it leads, and this doubting is such a, I mean, we just don't realize how necessary that is. You see, we can come to church. We can come to worship services. We can read our Bibles. We can do all those things. But in the back of our mind, in the back of our heart, we're not real sure that this is all true. We're not sure that it's all right. And so what we do is we just go through the motions. And that's exactly what the devil wants us to do. That's exactly how he wants to treat the Word of God. And he wants us to treat it just like he treats it. But listen to this. Now listen, turn to Hebrews, the 4th chapter and verse 2. I'm not going to have you to turn to a lot of passages, but I do want you to look at this one. Hebrews 4 and verse 2. It has something to do with what Mark was talking about in his class this morning. In Hebrews, the 4th chapter and verse 2, listen to what the Hebrews writer says. For indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them. People have had the gospel preached. People have had the gospel talked to them. Now remember the book of Hebrews, he's kind of talking to some Jewish Christians there. They've heard the word of God. But the word which they heard did not profit them. Why didn't it profit them? They heard it. Why didn't it profit them? You read it? Why didn't it profit you? Look as he goes on to say and what he has to say here. It didn't profit them. Not being mixed with what? What does he say you got to be mixed with? Faith. Let me tell you something. You can have all the Bible you want in your head. You can go to every church service you want to. You can go through all this religious stuff that you want to. But if you don't take the Word of God and you don't put faith with it, it's not going to be worth anything. It's not worth anything. You can have the Word of God without faith and you can be lost. You can have faith without the Word of God and you'll be lost. Those two things have to come together. If they don't come together, you cannot have salvation. It is the idea of that faith there that we have, and here's God giving us His will, His word, His way, and we're to follow that. And if you mix those two together, we have salvation. But if you don't, if you get either one of them without the other, it doesn't work. You ladies, try fixing a cake one day and you only put one ingredient in it, you don't put the other things in there. You know what'll happen? It's not going to work. You got to put it all in it. Have you made something, ladies, sometime, and cooked a cake or cooked something, and you left out an ingredient, and you left it, and it didn't work? It turned out awful. And I've seen Linda throw cakes away. I forgot to put this in. I forgot to put that in. You know, and it's just something you just forget. And you say, well, you should have read the recipe. Or if you're like some of these ladies, you don't have a recipe, it's in your head. But you should have done that. These two things have got to come together. You've got to have faith and you've got to have works. And when you have those two things and they come together, I'm going to tell you something. It does away with the doubt. It eliminates doubt because we're able to trust in that. Now, second point. He wants us to lose the Word of God. He doesn't want us to have the Word of God. I mean, he tolerates it, but the thing he wants us to do is really just to get it out of our life and not have it in our life. Now, in 2 Kings 22, in verse 8, it talks about a fellow there. They're reconstructing the temple, and they're working on it, and they find the law of God, the book of God. They find it. So the high priest goes and he tells the secretary of the king, we found the word of God. It was lost. Now the king goes and he says, okay, bring it and let's read that. He brings it. Probably he doesn't read it. Probably has it read to him. And when he does, he takes his big old coat and he rips that thing because he's so upset. Here's what God's told us to do and we're not doing it. Go ask God what we need to do. Go ask God how we need to handle this. God helped them to understand how to handle it. What was that? Follow that word. Follow what that word has to say. Listen to what it has to say. How did the book get lost? How do you lose your Bible? You know, I know sometimes you can. I've had people, I don't know how many times over the years, people call and say, did y'all find a Bible up there? I've lost my Bible. Well, that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about losing it in that you don't study it, you don't try to find out what it has to say, and you're not trying to follow it. That's losing it. These people lost the book. Now, there weren't many copies, but they lost that one. And here the king saw what the people were doing. The king saw how the people were living and saw how that they had rejected and turned away from God. And they had done that. Why? Because of the past. If you go back to chapter 21 and you start looking there, you got Manasseh, who's the king, and here he is one who is with the world. He's going to follow the world. And what he tries to do is to take the word of God and put it over here somewhere and says, okay, now, you know, we're all good people. We all want to do what's right. We all want to live in the right way. So, you know, let's just all do that. We can come together and we'll all, you know, we're all good people and we can help each other to do what's right and to live right. And so we'll just kind of sit down and we'll figure this thing out. We'll figure it out our own way. We can do that. We're good people. We want to do what's right. And that's true. The problem is, sometimes our ways are not God's way. Do you remember that passage? Our ways are not God's ways. What we've got to do is to come find out what's God's way. Because, you know, you and I might figure out a good way to do things, but it might not be God's way. We might figure out a better way to do the Lord's Supper, and it sounds really good to every one of us. But that's not God's way. What's God's way? How does God want us to deal with that? How does God want us to handle that? It said Manasseh seduced the people, and he got them away from God's word. And he got them so far away from it, they forgot to look at it and study it and find out what it has to say. And even though they were good people, they got away from God. Now that's all Satan wants. That's all he wants. He wants you to forget about the Word of God. People in the world don't like the Word of God. Now, I'm not saying they don't like religion. I'm not saying they don't like Jesus Christ. They just don't like the Word of God. Because the Word of God condemns things and says some things are not right. And they should not be. And people don't like that. We want to do what we want to do. In John 3 and verse 19 and following verses there, Jesus is talking there, and he said, I am the light sent from God to this world. I'm sent to this world to guide people, to show people the way to go. Sin is always represented as darkness, but here is the light. And Jesus said, I am the light, I'm coming into the world. But he said, some people don't like the light because it shows their evil deeds. You know the Christian, you know why the Christian likes the light? Because it shows to God what they're doing. Not just to man. It shows to God what they're doing. Now man's able to see it and glorify the Father in heaven. But it's done in light so that God can see it. Because everything we do as a child of God is to show the glory of God in our life. To show how we're living. And we're living according to the will of God. So Jesus is the light that's sent into the world. And we as those that are God's people like the light. And we're going to listen to that, listen to what the light has to say to us, and we're going to follow that. That's what Jesus was trying to do. But you know, the devil wants us to lose the Word of God out of compromise. Now, I thought about this because sometimes when preachers talk about things, they only talk about the big thing, you know. Compromise is terrible. Compromise is awful. Let me tell you something. Some compromise is not bad, okay? Understand that. Not all compromise is good or bad. It's according to what you're compromising on. Now, you see, we could come here today and say, you know, I'm really not happy with grape juice. I like Dr. Pepper. And so, me and some other people decide we're going to put Dr. Pepper in that. And so we put Dr. Pepper in there. And other people, if you don't like that, then what you need to do is you need to compromise with us. That's not the kind of compromising we're talking about. That's not compromising like we need to do. Because you see, when God states it, we can't compromise on that. Now, we can compromise. We say, my son, the congregation they went, the first service, they were meeting at 8 o'clock. And they said, well, you know, they're going to move it to 8:30. Well, they moved it to 8:30, and I think it just about doubled their attendance for the 8:30 service. Somebody says, wait a minute, that's wrong. We don't like that. Well, learn to compromise on things like that. That's not a Bible doctrine. That's not God's Word. And we can compromise on that. But what he's talking about here is do not compromise on what God's will is. In Revelation 2, it talks there about Pergamum, and it talks about a church who they go with the doctrine of Baal. Now, it didn't say that they gave up serving Jesus Christ. It didn't say that they were totally rejecting Jesus Christ, but they were worshiping Baal also with that. And here they had a little bit of Jesus and a little bit of Baal and a... They were going along and compromising with the doctrine of the Nicolaitans who were teaching things that were wrong. And he said, listen, I'm going to remove your candlestick. In other words, I'm going to take your light. Now, what's light? Jesus said in John 3, he was light. He said, I'm going to leave you. I'm going to depart from you. I'm going to go away from you because you're not going to be following me. Maybe I said that wrong. He's not going away from us, but we're going away from him. Maybe a better way to say that. We're going away from him. And so here, it's trying to say to us, we need to be people who recognize that there's some things we can compromise on, but there's some things we cannot compromise on and should not compromise on. Now, wisdom is knowing enough of God's Word to be able to tell the difference in the two. That's what we've got to do. It's understand the difference in those things so that we don't compromise on those things that are important. The Word of God can be destroyed by compromise. It can be taken out of the way. It can be taken totally away. Listen in Revelation 2 and verse 16. Repent, or else I will come to you quickly and will fight against them with the sword of my mouth. Now you see, when Jesus said, I'm going to come and I'm going to fight against them, that's a serious thing. That's a very serious thing. Because he's saying, I'm not going to tolerate that. And then also, we can be those people that we lose the Word of God out of just neglect. We just forget about it. We just forget about what the Word of God is having to say. In Hebrews, the 5th chapter, verses 11 and 12, that he said, I've got much to say to you. I want to teach you this and I want to teach you that. I want to help you to understand what God's will is. I want you to know what God's will is. I want you to understand that. I've got much to say, but I can't give it to you because you don't know the first things. You ever tried to start in the middle of a book, the middle of a tape, and they're talking about something that happened, and you're going, what are they saying? You know, what you got to do is start at the beginning. And you learn the beginning, and then you know the middle, and you can understand the ending of it if you do that. We've got to be able to do that. And here he's saying, you've got to go back and understand the first things before you understand all these things. If you don't, you're going to neglect a part of it. You're not going to understand what it's all about. And part of the problem we have in religion is that we neglect a part of what God's saying us, and we jump over here to this or that. And we forget about, learn the first principles. Learn what God has to say. The Word of God can be neglected in many ways. It can be neglected in the pulpit by people either not just preaching things that are wrong, but not preaching things that need to be preached about. And to me, that's one of the greatest things about preaching. What do people need from the Word of God? What do they need from the Word of God? That's the important things. Bible classes, we need that. We need that in our study. We need that in our personal life as we deal with other people. We need that and we've got to have that. Now, I'm going to try to get all this done. Sometimes Satan wants us, and he does, to get us to the traditions of men. Now, we all think we're good people. We want to do what's right. And that may be the case, okay, as far as the world's concerned. And we want to do what's right, and we're going to do what's right. Okay, we start out with that premise, then we start looking at the Word of God. And we start saying that things are not as bad as they look like, just like Eve over there. You know, that fruit looks pretty good. It doesn't look like it'd kill anybody. Nobody's died from eating it yet. So here we are, and we're doubting this. And we're those people that we don't realize the importance of what we're trying to do. We have got to understand, we've got to come to the understanding that the Word of God is so important. In fact, Paul talked about it in Galatians, the first chapter. And he said there, if anybody comes to you, even if it's an angel from heaven, and he preaches any other doctrine unto you, verses 8 and 9, any other doctrine unto you, you don't, than what we've already preached, don't listen to it. And he goes on to say, listen, even if I come back and I preach you something that is contrary to what we said before, you don't even listen to that. Don't let the world come in and change what we teach and how we live. Don't let the world be willing to do that. Don't let the world and allow the world to do that. Allow the world to come in and through some way to pull us away from what God has to say and over to what people have to say. Have your children ever told you, everybody's doing it? Oh, if you hadn't heard that, you will. Everybody's doing it. You know, we do the same thing in religion. Everybody's doing it. Isn't that what the children of Israel said when they wanted a new king? Everybody's got one. We're the only one without one. Don't worry about it. Because everybody's doing it doesn't mean it's right. Find out what's right first. Don't just go by what the world has to say, by what people have to say, by how people look at this thing, how people deal with this. Don't let the Word of God be made void because of the traditions that we have. And let me tell you something. Don't just, when we talk about traditions, think about the denominational world or other religious groups. We got a problem with it in the church too. We got to be careful that we don't have our traditions that are not found in the Word of God. We need to go with the traditions that are found in the Word of God. And let me tell you something. On some of those other things, we might need to compromise some on, not as far as doctrine is concerned. But we need to know what the Word of God says. What does it say about this? How does it teach about this? We need to know what the Word of God has to say. And then the idea here is that we've got to be careful that we don't allow false teachers to come in. False teachers are those people who are going to teach things that are not right according to the Word of God. Now, either they teach something that is wrong, or they don't teach something that is right. We've mentioned that a while ago. And so what we've got to do is to realize how important it is that we follow that. We need to test those things. In fact, in 2 Peter 2, verses 1 and 2, it said that there's going to be false prophets coming among you. How do you tell what a false prophet looks like? Does he have a big FP written across his forehead? Or maybe on his coat he's got an FP, I'm a false prophet. You know? Or he may have his own T-shirt, his own web page. False prophet. No. Look just like anybody else. In fact, the Bible talks about it. A wolf in what kind of clothing? Sheep's. He looks like a little lamb, but he's a wolf and he'll eat you. He'll do it. Peter says don't do that. In fact, Peter goes on to say in 1 John 4 and verse 1, do not believe all the things. Search the Scriptures. Search what's said. We talk about the Bereans in Acts 11 and how that they searched the Scriptures to see if those things were true. Brethren, let me tell you something. Listen to this. Don't swallow everything the preacher says. Okay. I knew I was going to get one or two. And I'm not saying preachers all teach everything that's wrong, but you need to search the Scriptures. Don't depend on your salvation and don't put it just in a preacher and what he says. Don't do that. Put it in the Word of God. That's what it needs to be in. Too many people are following what man wants, what man thinks, and forgetting about what God says within His Word. Don't accept it just because everybody's doing it. Don't accept it just because a preacher preaches it, but find out what it has to say. And reject that that is wrong. Turn away from it. Get away from it. Don't have it anywhere near you. In fact, pull a Joseph. You run as hard as you can. You run. And you run right back to the Word of God, what it has to say, so that you can understand it. These false teachers can teach things that are wrong, and they can sound real good. But look at what the Scriptures have to say. All right, now, final point. What time is it? Okay, I got a minute or two to do this. Linda hadn't given me this yet, so I'm okay. Listen to this final point here. Satan wants us to be those people that crowd it out of our lives. Satan doesn't care if you're religious. He just didn't want you to really believe it that much. And we can get it so out of our lives because we can get so busy. I don't know at the people today that are so frustrated on Monday morning because of all the things they've got to do. Oh, I got to do this. I got to do that. I got this. I got this. I got my PBA here and it's listed up of things I got to do. I got this thing. I've got all this stuff to do and I'm so busy. Kids are so busy nowadays. I mean, they've got 50,000 things to do. Sometimes we might need to back up just a little bit and not allow things to be crowded out. Do you know there's people that are not here today because the devil, in his wisdom, helped them to see the need to crowd out the Word of God out of their lives? And they're not here today because they've allowed that. The cares of this world have come in and taken over. Remember the soils that the Bible talks about, one of the parables that Jesus gave, and here's the seed that's sown, and it's sown there, and it grows up, and it jumps up, and boy, it looks real good, and then all these briars and all these weeds and all these other things come in, and they do what? They choke it out. It chokes out the Word of God in your life. It chokes out the Word of God so that you can't feel and follow the Word of God. The priorities are different. The desires are different. What we want is different. And if we're not careful, it can take away everything that we have. We need to be people who understand the importance of recognizing that we need to be following the Lord. We need to be following what He has to say. The heart has to be something that cannot be hard, according to the Word of God. We've got to have a heart that's willing to be tender and listen to what God's Word has to say so that we can allow that Word to really grow in our heart. We can keep it from doing that. We can have some hypocrisy in our lives too. We can be so hypocritical that we look like we're religious, look like we're serving God, but we're not. We're not following Him. And it's got to start from the heart. And if it doesn't start from the heart, it's just a sham and it's not going to feel right to us even. Now, it can feel right if you go far enough. Because, see, you can go so far away from God that you don't even realize He's there. And I'm not saying by that we stand up and say, I deny God. I'm an atheist. I don't believe in God. We say we don't believe in God by the way we conduct our lives. We say we don't believe in God by the way we live our lives. Now, what we've got to do is to come back and find out what God's Word has to say for us. Jesus talked about the Pharisees, and He said to the Pharisees, or to the people about the Pharisees, He said, they sit in Moses' seat. Do what they teach you to do, but don't live like they live. That's really hypocrisy. That's what it's all about. And that's not what we want. We need to be people that we listen to what God says and we're going to follow it. Now the devil, let me tell you something. The devil is powerful. He is mighty. He is greater than we are. And if we try to take him on by ourselves, we're going to lose. But that's not just the battle there. The battle is, do we have just enough religion to get by on, but not enough to change our heart and our life? We got to have enough to change our life. It's got to really affect us. And if it doesn't, then we're going right along with what Satan wants. He doubts it. He wants you to follow other things. He don't want you to follow God's will. And let me tell you something. You say, now, you know, That preacher just doesn't know how good a person I am. At the best we can be, we're still away from God. We've got to come to God. We've got to follow His way. And if we're not careful, we'll figure out another way. But it's wrong. And we need to come back to God's way. Today, I want to encourage you. Is God first in your life? Is He the one that's there for, and when you set your schedule up, is God involved in that? Is God set up in your schedule, in your life, so that you can serve Him? I'm not just talking about coming to the worship service. That's not it. We have equated religion in our time to the worship service. If you come to three services, you're faithful. I'd never figured that one out yet. That's not necessarily true. How do you live your life every day? That's the important thing. And you know how you live your life. You know what's first, and you know what's second, and you know what you're going to do. I plead with you, follow God's way, follow God's will. Now, we have an invitation song. We want to sing that.